This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC. When it comes to home repairs, we could all use a guy. Well, we've got the guy, and we've got the show. For all your home improvement questions, we've got answers. This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Now, here's your host, Dayton Kane and David Nason.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. It's going to be a hot, humid day, and then it's supposed to cool humidity-wise the next couple days and be a little bit nicer. But how are you, David?
I am good.
Good. Yes. Busy week again?
Pretty busy week. Yeah. Seeing the light at the end of the tunnel for some. I've been involved in some larger cases, legal cases. Some of those are coming to a close, but home inspections are still happening, even though I'm hearing a lot of people getting, you know, purchasing again without inspections. So shame on you for doing that. You know, but I get it. Some people,
what's interesting, as I drive around, I'm seeing more and more for sale signs than I did the last year or so. So I think the market, people are like, well, these interest rates are what they are, and we're going to move. We need to move.
That, and I do think, And I don't fault anybody for this, that there are some people taking advantage of the price of, you know, homes. We were talking a little bit before the show about some of the prices I'm seeing out by me, you know, Conwalk. Just like, wow, really? Yeah.
You're saying the people that live in the home are saying we can make a lot of money right now if we sell our
house. We made an investment here. We bought a house, we remodeled it or something. We've been here for a while, and we could actually, you know, make some money. The thing is, you got to have somewhere to go, right?
Right.
So are you going to maybe sell your house for a good amount of money and then pay more money? Are you going to step up to something and take that money and put it down on something bigger? I guess that's always been maybe the American dream,
right?
To have something bigger and better.
Or nicer.
But I think more and more people, like, you know, getting to our age, I would be totally fine having something smaller.
Right.
You know, I have a two-story. It's not that big, 1,600 square feet. But, you know, if I had a 1,200 square foot ranch, I'd be perfectly fine with that. I'm getting a little tired of stairs. But
I'm wondering if people are like, you know what, let's sell our house. The pricing's high right now. It's got to crash.
Yeah.
That's my brain. It's at some point, this can't keep going the way it's going. I have an interesting question. I would love to hear from the listeners on this, and I'll ask you this too. But if you want to chime in, 855-616-1620. If you're going to sell your home and you know a company is going to buy it instead of a person that will live in your house and an actual family moving in, you know what? There's all these corporations out there right now buying all these houses up. If you're going to make more money from the corporation buying it, are you selling it to them? Or are you going to say, no, I want to keep housing in Wisconsin, family driven and families living in homes and not landlords renting to people because they could afford to buy my house for more.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting question because I don't know what I would do. My guess would be it depends on how much more.
How much more. I think also, you know, maybe not in our situation, but for some people, it might depend on where you're living. If you're living in more of an urban neighborhood, and I get it, some neighborhoods, people, you know, you don't know all your neighbors and things like that, and we know our neighbors quite well.
Yeah.
And I hear stories often where I'm doing an inspection for the buyer, and the buyer shares that they wrote a letter to the seller, and that's what got them the home.
Yeah.
The people who are selling the home raised a family there. They spent 30 years there, great neighborhood, and all the people that are coming through, and this young couple with maybe a baby or something, or a baby on the way or something, just said, we just love this neighborhood. We have family neighborhood, something like that. And that kind of sealed the deal for them. Sure. Now, had to be close.
Yeah, I was going to say that had to be pretty close, you know, I would think.
But that can be a really big issue for some people selling the home, that they want to know that it's going to another family who's going to be able to, you know, enjoy the home like they did.
Somebody texted in, don't care, money talks. But that's what we want.
Right?
What's your response to that? If you know a corporation is going to buy your house and pay you more money than maybe a family trying to move into a home would you sell to the corporation? Or would you say, no, I don't want to sell to them. I want to keep housing in Wisconsin. But don't care, money talks is the first one that came through.
If my neighbors sold and then people before I did, and all of a sudden there's people that I maybe – you know, they're not as nice as my old neighbors. I'd be like, yep, yeah, I'm out of here too. But I think at this point, we have some great neighbors by us, and I would love to do the same thing if we could sell it to a family who would enjoy it and grow up, you know, have some kids there too. That we'd probably lean that way.
Yeah. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. We do have a question on a maple tree that we'll get to when we come back, and we'll talk a little bit about how this weather is affecting some of the plants, because I have something going on one of my trees too that we can talk through. If you have questions, no guests this hour. Eric Brown from Siding Unlimited on next hour. Get your calls and texts in. It is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
The Fix-It Show with Dayton Kane and David Nason on WTMJ.
The Guff's going to be headlining Heart Fest at Heart Park today. Lots of stuff to do.
I haven't heard of them in a while.
I know, right? That's why I brought it up. I'm like, the Guff's. Isaac's band is playing this Thursday.
And we're going.
12:30, U-Line stage at Summerfest.
Woo!
So let's all keep our fingers crossed. Let's pray for good weather so that we can all be out there hanging out watching his band play. He doesn't know if he can get us backstage yet.
Yeah,
I said, what good is it knowing a rock star if we can't get backstage? But
a guy.
Thanks for texting if you have questions or if you want to talk about what would you do if a business was offering you more money than a family to try to move into your home when you're selling it. 855-616-1620. We already had the don't care money talks.
Yeah.
Sadly, our neighbors sold for the money, and the new neighbor tore up the landscape, put up big, ugly outbuildings, and moving his business in. We had a great neighborhood. That's a different situation. That sounds like a local business owner that has a landscape company or something. Like, they need these big buildings.
Right, maybe more a little bit of a rural area.
Right, right. I was thinking more like these conglomerates that are just buying up houses across the country and paying people stupid money to get their house, but now they own all of the world.
Yeah.
And people are paying rents they can't afford and that sort of thing. But anyway, another text came in. It says, I have a maple tree in the backyard that always has little black bumps on the leaves each year. What is that?
Well, we're not horticulturalists, right? No. Or arborists. I did look it up. It says it sounds like it's called maple tar spot. That is a common, mostly cosmetic fungal disease that resembles splash tar. While unsightly, it rarely threatens the long-term health of the tree. You know, if Gary from Trees on the Move was listening, maybe he'd chime in on that. But doesn't sound like it's a major thing. They said basically what you got to do is get rid of your leaves in the fall when they fall.
Okay.
Don't let them lay on the ground and everything. It's not real treatable, but rake up your leaves and get rid of them. Don't compost them. Don't leave them on the ground.
So a couple of weeks ago, I was looking at my maple tree that I had in the front yard, and all the leaves were kind of on the edges brown and curled up. Like
already?
In spring, and falling off the tree. So my brother's an actual arborist, so I texted him a picture. I said, what is this? And he said, that's anthracross. Anthracross, yeah. Caused by a wet spring. Because it was so wet that when the leaves were coming up, it must have been too wet.
Too wet for him?
So he said, it'll be fine next year.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing to worry about. The tree's not dying. Yeah. It's just something that happened. So this weather we've been having has been extreme, right? Wettest April, driest May. Now we've got the last 2 weeks have been so much rain again. It's just crazy.
And storms. So we got some storm damage and Horicon, the crazy video that they show. They actually had fire trucks with their ladders holding up the front elevation of a building downtown because they thought it might come down. And then they're pretty sure a tornado went through Racine County, and Kenosha, or Walworth County probably, down south of Burlington.
Yep.
So, crazy weather. It's we go from cool to really hot and humid, and we talk about, I'm sure you talk about it when I talk about it, when we're looking at houses and things, that I think the Midwest here, this upper Midwest that we're in, has some of the most, I guess the best word is, severe weather, where we go from below zero, extremely dry in the winter, to some of the hottest and most humid weather that you can see elsewhere in the country. Yeah. Now, we can get into the 90s here. The humidity levels are really high. I mean, that happens down south, but it's down there. It's they don't have the opposite. They don't have the really cold temperatures that we get. So the outside of your house is reacting to these elements. So when we talk to Eric in our next hour, I mean, that's something we can talk about. Is like that's just why you have to have the outside of your house done well and yes, maintained. Sure. You know, you got to keep an eye on it and make sure that it's in a condition where it can stand up to the weather that we have.
One thing we've been getting more and more this past couple months is people calling with service type things that sure. aren't our customers, but like my fascia blew off. Can you come put new fascia on this one part of my house? Or piece of siding flew off. Can you come fix our siding? Siding Unlimited is not kind of built for that. Yeah. We're built for bigger, but we are hearing more because the weather's just been extreme, like windy and rainy, and things can happen to your house. So it doesn't hurt after every storm. I just walk around the house once and just look up. Yeah. What happened to my house? Anything? Yeah. No. Is there a big branch laying up on your? Did it puncture? If you see a big branch on your roof, go it's inside. Probably, pop your head in the attic if you can, or if it's low enough. You always say we never recommend people get on a roof, but my roof. If I see a big branch up there, I'm going up there and I'm going to check it out and get it off the roof.
Yeah.
Or so anyway, it weather is a factor.
If you can't see it or something, you're not sure or something, call somebody.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Call us with questions, 855-616-1620. That's the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. We'll be right back. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
WTMJ's The Fix-It Show with David Nason and Dayton Kane.
Sounds a little Red Hot Chili Pepper-ish to me. Isaac in the producer's studio today, Dayton Kane and David Nason here. Thanks for tuning into the Fix-It Show. We appreciate that. It's going to be a hot one, 86 and partly cloudy today. I think they were saying about 60% humidity, and then it's supposed to drop tomorrow and be a little less humidity. So that'll be good.
Yeah.
But get out and enjoy Polish Fest at the Henry Meyer Festival Grounds.
My wife's mostly Polish, or at least a quarter Polish. Something like that. So we're gonna check out Polish Fest a little bit.
They were showing on TMJ4 yesterday some kind of noodle bacon, some kind of dish. It looked amazing.
Noodle and bacon?
I want to go down there just for that, just to get that.
And have some Polish beer, too.
Somebody did ask, he said, good question about the home selling. I have a question back for you. About how much might that difference be in selling to private party versus a corporation percentage-wise, likely to sell to the family still? I looked that up, so... I guess only 2-3% of homes that are rented out are owned by Wall Street type. Yeah. When you think of lending or
equity
companies. Yeah. So it's more mom and pop owners that own five or so properties where they're paying more to get those. And they're saying actually they're usually paying less because they're looking for the deal. They're looking for the house that they can rent out. Then they're not worried about, is it a perfect house, but how much can I rent this for?
And
it's interesting. This whole thing's interesting.
Location has a lot to do with it.
True. Like you said,
it's going to be more urban areas.
Yeah. If you're
where a company is going to probably want to have more properties in a closer proximity that they can manage rather than kind of scattered all over the place. So it probably really depends on where you're at. You know, not only is it going to be a common practice in your area, but also what the value is going to be different.
Well, and look what happens when you own too many of these. Have you seen in the news lately that the guy in Milwaukee that they've had like tons of houses like turned over a different management company now because they just let them go and wasn't
a slumlord
fixing them up.
And that's terrible.
So don't get too big where you can't keep track of your properties and you don't make them look nice and for the people renting them, keep them up to date,
up to code.
A lot of code violations were going on.
And safety issues, definitely. That's really the biggest thing. That's what, you know, a larger part of what I'm looking at in a home is safety issues. We're not code inspectors. Home inspectors are not code inspectors, not trying to make sure the house meets code. But some of the things we're looking at, they coincide with codes.
Right.
So we do have to know somewhat what our building code here is in Wisconsin is.
I remember looking at, my son went to UW-Milwaukee, and I just remember looking at some of these places that they were looking to rent. And I'm like, this is crazy that they can even rent this.
Yeah.
That they can, like, holes through the balcony where these kids are, going to go out and party on this thing. And there's a hole through it. Like, what?
Yeah, that's not good.
Anyway, so as the owner of Best Inspections, I'm assuming most of the inspections you do are for single families trying to buy a house.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, the majority.
Yeah, you're not running. You're not working with a ton of big corporations that are calling you in.
Not sure that I've ever been hired by a corporation to inspect a home.
Yeah.
They would probably bring in their own people or something.
Yeah, that's probably true. They probably have their own guy.
There are some national inspection companies. I think that's more popular in other parts of the country. Only it kind of relates to the construction industry here in Wisconsin is we have very few national builders because we have our own building code.
Gotcha.
Different than the rest of the country. Wisconsin has its own standards for home inspections, different than the rest of the country. So we're not, majority of home inspectors in Wisconsin are sole proprietors, single inspectors like myself. There are some multi-inspector firms, some good ones, but it's not as big of a deal. But that will change in the future, just like everything else.
Keep the questions coming. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. We got a cool tool segment coming up this hour yet, so stick around for that. Now we go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center with Elizabeth Linton. Good morning, Elizabeth.
More of your questions next. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Isaac's getting funky today with the music. I like it. The Fix-It Show is on WTMJ. Dayton Kane, David Nason here. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Next segment, we're going to do the cool tools. So be ready for it. This one's crazy. You may want to get on YouTube and watch instead of just listening because this thing is nuts. So, yes, you can always watch us on YouTube. Just search for WTMJ. We're right there for you. So somebody texted in, is there anyone I can call to look at a retention pond? When I moved here 4 years ago, there were ducks and birds and frogs. Now the animals stay away and the water is stagnant, good for mosquitoes. That's about it. Ooh, please help. Thank you.
I would think the frogs would like the stagnant water, but...
Yeah, you would think.
But everything else, we were just talking, you just need to keep the water moving, right?
You need an aerator of some kind, typically, especially a smaller pond you can get away with it. But we went to Bass Bay Brew House last night, which is not the Brew House anymore. It's just their outdoor bar is open, and we went there. It packed, by the way. Beautiful night to be outside. Mm-hmm. So we went on the lake, and my friend asked, why would you have a fountain in front of, like, by your pier? I'm like, well, that's for aeration. Yeah. That's to keep it. And if you looked at that dock, around that dock was nice and clear, and there was nothing really there. Two, three docks down, algae, lily pads, you know, so the water needs to be moving a little bit to keep it not stagnant,
And you see people like up the Milwaukee River, not so much down in at Marina. Sometimes, I guess, I bet in McKinley Marina, people do this, but not at South Shore Yacht Club, is that people will put a bubbler on the, I think they call it a bubbler. It's down on the floor of the lake below your boat, and it just keeps the water moving, and it prevents the ice from, it may not prevent ice from forming, but it's just really
real thin,
and it's not going to damage your boat. So again, you're just moving water to keep it fresh.
Otherwise, you suggested maybe call Trees on the Move.
Trees on the Move. I would imagine they've done some type of water feature in all the landscaping they do. Gary's talks about how much they do and everything. So I got to imagine somebody's got a water feature on their property that they've worked into their landscape plan. And so to do the same thing.
Chad, my buddy, Chad and Lorena live on Park Lake up in Partyville. Shout out to Partyville if you're listening. At the end of their dock, they've got one of these things that does that just to keep, again, it keeps your area kind of clean as long as it's moving. And so that may be what to check into, aeration. If you're good, handy, you can get one yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just buy one and put it in if you know what you're doing.
But. And that same thing goes with air. I mean, you got to keep the air moving in your house. So that's why some people run ceiling fans a lot, or they run the fan on their furnace constantly. Keep the air moving. Let it run through the filter on your furnace, so that it's always clean and everything. Otherwise, if you don't, if you don't open windows or anything, if the air is just sitting in your house, that's not healthy or good either.
Yeah. We keep our fan running all the time for that very reason. So 855-616-1620. That is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. By the way, got my Summerfest tickets. Thank you, WTMJ.
Yeah, me too.
So now I can go see Isaac for free.
Yes, right.
Can't wait for I'm psyched for Thursday because
we got to get the entire studio down there.
Yeah, right.
Well,
get everybody watching.
They'll be broadcasting live, of course, from Summerfest. Sure. We never get to do anything live anywhere.
So
it'd be a big production to move us, right?
I don't know if my boss is. Well, Eric's coming in, so he'll know. I'm taking a day off on Thursday. Oh. Going to go see Isaac. Well, half day. I got a couple appointments in the morning. Isaac's band plays at 12:30, and then I'm hanging out at Summerfest. Modern English is going to be there that night. Echo and the Bunnymen, if you're an 80s alternative.
Well, you guys
person.
Are opening for Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind's going to be there.
Yeah, sweet.
So
what stage are you on?
The U-Line stage.
U-Line stage.
Isaac's the drummer. Do you do any singing at all?
I do a little bit of yelping.
Yelping, okay.
Yeah. The gates open at noon?
I think that sounds guessing? Right. The first band is at noon, so gates probably open a little before that, I think.
All right.
But yeah, Summerfest coming up already this week and then the two weekends after that as well. So get your calls and texts in. We would love to talk about anything this hour. Like I said, Eric Brown from Siding Unlimited on next hour, 855-616-1620. We're going to take an early break. It is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Need advice? Call 855-616-1620. Our expert home inspector is here to help. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Indeed it is. And remember, whenever or wherever you're listening, just know that we're live on YouTube as well. And this might be one of the times you want to jump on and check it out. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, comment along with us. Just search 620 WTMJ on YouTube. And you can subscribe today if you want, or just watch what we're about to unveil. It is time for... a cool tool.
Do we have a theme for this? So
this thing is crazy. What is this thing?
I have had something similar to this before, but it was very simple that you just plugged into your phone and everything. But this is an endoscope. So it's got a screen and a cord here. And I purchased this so that I can, if necessary, I can look behind things, inside walls and things for damage or something. But the reason I bought this one this time is that it's called a steering endoscope. And so I can, I don't know if you can see this, but I can actually manipulate the end
it's
of this.
Weird to watch.
It just,
looks like a little worm.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Dave here, I'm going to, didn't mean to share that picture while you're eating breakfast, but so I can put this in a wall and instead of just, I can actually turn the end of it.
It's lit up. It's got a light on it.
It's got a light on it. It's got some attachments like a magnet and a hook that if you needed to grab something. Apparently, a lot of guys use these on auto mechanics. Where they stick it down into the valves, and they can see the inside of the engine and everything. But for me, it's all about an inspection, trying to look in a wall or behind something or up in an area where I can't really get to because my head's too big or whatever. But and then it allows me to take a picture with this and a video.
That's awesome.
So then I can save that and use it in a report and everything. So
follow-up question to this is that something you have to do? That seems like over the top, like something you wouldn't need to look behind a wall.
So this is not for a home inspection.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could. With a home inspection, we have a set of standards to follow for doing a home inspection. That's really basically a minimum.
Okay.
If you choose as a home inspector to go above and beyond, that's on you as a home inspector. You have to understand that you're going beyond our standards. And so there's some inspectors who will check for mold. We don't really have to do that. There are some that will use a thermography camera or an infrared camera during their inspection. Again, that's beyond the scope of a home inspection. I have these tools, but I have them primarily if I'm doing an inspection that's not a home inspection. So if we're looking for water damage as a result of an insurance claim or some other kind of an issue. It's just one more tool that I have in my toolbox of things that goes beyond a visual inspection.
So when you check for moisture on Eves,
right?
Eves. You're not drilling a hole that big into the side to check for moisture.
No.
So you're not sticking that scope in and going,
Correct.
Look at all the rot that's back here.
Correct. For an Eves inspection, I'm using a probe. Well, I have a larger surface moisture meter that's designed for that. It's different. I have a regular moisture meter if I'm just checking dampness on a drywall inside a house. But if it's for exterior, it's a Tramex wall and roof and wall scanner, so it can penetrate up to 4 inches into a wall. And it, but it also can be fooled by metal in the wall or electrical in the wall, because anything that conducts electricity is going to indicate that it's quote unquote wet.
Gotcha.
So we're just, all we're doing, it's doing any kind of surface moisture meter is using a battery to see what's conducting the little bit of current that it's giving off, because water is a very good conductor of electricity.
Well, of course.
And usually most construction materials are not, well, other than metal. So wood, you know, vinyl, those things don't conduct electricity very well. But with the moisture testing on an EIFS inspection, I drill little holes about an eighth inch diameter, a pair of them. I call them like vampire bites.
Okay.
So they're right next to each other, about an inch apart. And then I insert a probing meter. It's got two pointy probes on it that are insulated on the sides, so that just the points of that meter are measuring the moisture of the material behind the gotcha. Foam, whether it's wood, plywood, or OSB sheathing, or some type of exterior drywall product like DensShield. It can be masonry, but that's you know, more rare. So different, very different tool, but again, just the tool that I use, that if I need to, hey, you know what, hey, we need to look inside that wall, and I don't want to drill a 2 foot
right,
by 2 foot
right.
hole. We can drill about a 3/16 inch hole, and I can insert this and take a look.
Or maybe go in around like a socket, take off
Correct.
The plate
yeah.
of a socket.
Stick this
go
in,
up
and,
in
then,
there.
And then turn it to look up.
Yeah, yeah.
Go look down.
Show it one more time yeah, to the camera yeah. if you're watching on YouTube.
Very similar to what?
Endoscope? Is that what you
Yeah, endoscope.
Isn't that what they call the ones that are in with the
yeah.
doctor's office?
Yeah, probably very similar. But
I
also,
don't want that thing moving like
maybe not.
You're making me nervous, David.
But very similar to what chimney inspectors use when they do a level two inspection.
Sure, sure.
And then there's a guy out in Waukesha, Mike from Quality Chimney. He has laid claim to invented the chimnoscopy, is what he calls it, for inspecting chimneys. So again, you can turn a camera sideways and look at the inside of your chimney flue.
All right, we're going to take our final break for this hour. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talking text line. I saw Aaron Brown walk by again, so Siding Unlimited on with us next hour. So ask any questions that pertain to maybe inside the house, because next hour it's all outside of the house on the Fix-It Show.
David Nason and Dayton Kane. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Indeed it is. Water Lantern Festival going on at Veterans Park today. Tonight, get it all lit up, and they let the lanterns out.
That'd be cool.
And something fun to go do, and it's supposed to be a decent day. Going to be hot during the midday, 86 for a high and partly cloudy. Siding Unlimited, J&B Construction, always sponsoring the Fix-It Show each week. We thank them for that. And let's get to some texts here before we're joined by Aaron Brown next hour. Do you recommend frequently changing water hammer arresters, or is there any type of preventative maintenance before it goes bad and you start hearing the noise in the plumbing when the faucets are turned on and off?
First of all, we should make sure everybody knows what a water hammer arrester is.
Yep.
And if you go down in your basement or in your laundry room, and you look behind your washing machine, these little, in an older home, it's going to be right above the utility sink. They look like these little copper tubes that branch off of the water supplies, hot and cold, anywhere from 4 to maybe 8, 10, 12 inches tall. And they're basically shock absorbers for your water. And they are, I don't want to say, I think they're code, not 100% sure. Again, I don't know all the code. I think they're required for washing machines and dishwashers. And the reason is that those appliances, the water supply to them is always on, and the valve inside the appliance is what turns on and off
gotcha.
When it runs through its cycle. So when you put your clothes in your washing machine, hit on, the valve opens inside. It's I believe it's called a solenoid valve, meaning it's controlled electronically, you know, on and off. And when you turn a valve on and off, you're turning it on fairly slow. You could try to turn it quick. But generally, you're turning it somewhat slowly and shutting the water off. When these valves turn on and off in a washing machine and a dishwasher, they're really like on and off, you know, bang, bang. And if you don't have a hammer arrester, that water can stop very quickly and you'll hear it bang in the pipes. And so that hammer arrester absorbs that sudden stop of the water. I have never heard of anybody having to replace them or at least regularly.
Right.
I guess I have heard of them becoming waterlogged, but it's not something you would do regularly. You can, if you don't have them, and I'll point them out if I don't see them on an inspection, you can buy a set at Home Depot, Menards, Ace Hardware, wherever. And they, where they go is you unscrew, turn the water off, the valves off for your supply, for your washing machine, unscrew the hoses. And if you have rubber hoses, whether they're black, gray, red, or blue for your washing machine, throw them away and get the reinforced kind for your washing machine. Then, but then screw the hammer arresters on there and then screw the washer supply hoses onto the hammer arresters. So you can put them on yourself. Otherwise, you can call a plumber. And they can plumb them in for you if you want to have them done that way too. Same thing would go for a dishwasher. Usually it's underneath your kitchen cabinet. It's on the hot water supply. There's a little hammer arrester there.
Good question. Who installs the doors that cover an entry into an outside entry with steps down into the basement? And where does one get the doors? The present ones don't close completely.
Right. The most well-known name of that is Bilco, B-I-L-C-O, Bilco doors. Mostly you see these on older farmhouses,
right. Kind
of where it was more of a cellar, or you didn't have a stair from the inside of the house into the basement kind of thing. But sometimes people will still have them on a newer home if they wanted to have a shop down there and they wanted to have access. So Bilco would be the brand, and you can buy new ones. I would search them. You might get them at through a Fleet Farm. I would think more of Fleet Farm, Tractor Supply type store, or find them online. As far as who was install them, that's going to probably be, you know, a handyman type thing.
And, you know, guess,
Eric Mishevsky at Mishap Solutions that I think he was on the show. Once, friend of mine. He might be able to do something. You could look him up, Mishap Solutions. Other than that, I'm not thinking siding, roofing, siding, window companies are going to do something like that.
Not that I've ever seen run across.
You know, a remodeling company, you know, if you're doing a project at your house and everything, they could do it along with the project. But really, it's kind of a carpentry thing. Maybe somebody who builds decks. I don't know if that's all they do is decks. I'm not sure. Like I said, it's probably more of a handyman, smaller company that's kind of does a variety of projects that could handle that.
Good stuff. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line if you have questions. For next hour's guest, Aaron Brown, going to be on with us. That does it for hour number one.
This has been the Fix-It Show on WTMJ, presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.